The Piano Matters is supported by Jacobs Music in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, the area representative of Steinway & Sons for new and previously owned Steinway pianos. More information is available at jacobsmusic.com. This is The Piano Matters. I'm David Dubal, your host, your commentator, and I hope you're having a good week, or at least some good hours. Did you get out in the air and do some touch football? I think I have a good show for you. As usual, some known works, some unknown. So stay with us all the way. Great music swells the heart in all times, but in difficult times, it's necessary to make room for the masters. I begin with a world-famous piece by Erik Satie. Only 3 minutes, but it has an inner potency. It's called Gymnopédie. It sounds like a Greek title, but it's just an invention of Satie, who loved titles that he himself invented. It's the third of a set. He also liked to write in sets of three. Satie lived from 1866. He died in Paris in 1925. Satie just detested Wagnerism and Germanic giantism. He once told Debussy, he said, "Let's try to write French music and keep the sauerkraut out." And he created a music really very devoid of heroics or heavy emotionalism, music that often mocked such sentiments. Satie is never out to impress. He wears his music lightly. Hey, that's a good phrase I just made. He wears his music lightly. Here is the well-known pianist, born in France, Jean-Yves Thibaudet. Thank you. Gymnopédie number 3 by Satie, played very well by Jean-Yves Thibaudet. I'm David Dubois, listening with you to a new episode of The Piano Matters. These are the words of the late novelist Saul Bellow, and they're rather devastating. He writes, "No wonder the really powerful men in our society, whether politicians or scientists, hold writers and poets in contempt. They do it because they get no evidence from modern literature that anybody, any writer, is thinking about any significant question." Emil von Sauer is known to the world as a pianist of the Golden Age. He's elegant and suave in his interpretations. He's never very deep or profound, but he's always effective. Anyway, his dates are 1862, and he lived until 1942. He was a very busy man. He was a teacher. Everyone would come to him in Vienna, and an editor of musical scores. Many pianists still use his Liszt or Brahms editions. But Sauer wrote much music, 32 concert etudes, 2 concertos, 2 sonatas, much more. Most of it is dismissed as he lived into a time of great change, so it's usually just called period pieces. Yet his music has a certain strength, and it will always be welcomed as a novelty by some searching pianist. On our program, Maria Eugenia Tapia pays tribute to Sauer's artistry as a composer, and she will perform the prelude Passione from Emil von Sauer's Suite Moderne. If you happen to enter in the middle of the piece, it was Prelude Passione by Emil von Sauer. And if you've never heard of him, I certainly forgive you. It was played very well, I thought, by Maria Eugenia Tapia. This is David Dubal, always happy to be with you on The Piano Matters. The piano literature is surely a treasure trove of the most varied musical thought. Modernism in music and painting was blossoming in the arts in 1910. Kandinsky's abstractions, Schoenberg's atonality, Scriabin's mysticism, Monet's shimmering impressionism, Debussy's incredible preludes, Ravel's Gaspard de la Nuit, dancing with the Diaghilev Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo, modern dancing burgeoning with Isadora Duncan, and Stravinsky's Petrushka with Nijinsky, the greatest male dancer of the age, in the starring role, made a sensation in Paris. A few years later, Stravinsky himself transcribed three of the scenes from Petrushka, and the first is Danse Russe, an exhausting and exciting 3 minutes. I have a new pianist entering the Piano Matters, a superb player born in Korea named Haekyung Soo. Here she is entering the bitonality of Stravinsky's Danse Russe. Quite an exciting performance of Stravinsky's dazzlingly difficult Danse Russe by the Korean-born pianist Haekyung Soo. This is The Piano Matters. This week, I bought a new pen, fountain. That is always exciting, but always disappointing, too, as there is really no perfect pen. You can go to Paris or Copenhagen, and you won't find a perfect pen. But still, the thrill of ink on paper. What satisfaction. Blair said, People first abandon reason and then become obstinate. And the deeper they are in error, the more angry they are. Yep, that's true. That's happened to me. I now give you Dmitry Rachmaninoff. Not Rachmaninoff. He's a fine guy. I know him. He's a fine musician. And he loves his art. Here is Rachmaninoff in two pieces by a composer he adores, Opus 59 by Scriabin. It's a poem and prelude. Dmitry Rachmaninoff. I haven't seen him for a few years, but we once gave a lecture performance of Scriabin. We heard him in the Scriabin poem and prelude, Opus 59, from Scriabin's last period, and this was composed in 1911. Scriabin died much too early at age 43 in 1915 from blood poisoning. 'Tis time for a Schubertian masterpiece. Arkady Valados brings out all the loveliness of the finale of Schubert's G major sonata, one of the most vernal works of art. We have Valados playing for us the fourth movement, Allegretto. Thank you. Arkady Valados knows well how to shade on the piano. Every nuance is weighted, and his ear is highly attuned, and his pedaling is a marvel. You heard him in the fourth movement of Schubert's G major sonata, Deutsche 894. The wonderful Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens. And by the way, his son-in-law was the great Golden Age pianist Gabrilowitsch. And his daughter had studied in Vienna for a whole year with Leschetizky. So he knew the piano and loved it, Mark Twain. And he said, "It is not best that we should all think alike. It is differences of opinion that makes horse races." And you know, I could put on 20 pianists and have 20 people, each of them give a different opinion of the piece. Kaikorsu Sorabji. He wrote some of the most outlandishly difficult music, and he was so displeased with the performances he received that he once put a ban on anyone playing his work, and that ban lasted for many years. Well, in a certain way, he became a legend because a lot of people were interested in him, but musically, he was and still is obscure. In recent years, Michael Haberman has brought quite a bit of Sorabji to light. See how you like this languorous pastiche on the Hindu merchant song from Rimsky-Korsakov's opera, Sadko. Here is Mr. Haberman. He's walking to the piano right now.
Thank you.
You heard the perfumed, elegant impressionism of Sorabji, Indian composer, a Parsi Indian, so exotic the piece at times, and he called it pastiche on the Hindu merchant song from Rimsky-Korsakov's Sadko. Have you ever heard Rimsky-Korsakov's operas? There's about 12 or 13. It's a shame that Russian is not in the opera houses usually, for these pieces are incredible. How Rachmaninoff and Scriabin and so many. I remember Horowitz making some piano transcriptions that were never published or that he never recorded on Rimsky-Korsakov operas. All the Russians just loved Rimsky. Remember to give generously to our dear station. 'Tis the season to give. So go to wwfm.org and just press with all gentleness, donate. And we ask this humbly. We heard Dmitri Rachmaninoff in some Scriabin. Now an early etude from his Opus 8. We hear the eloquently magnificent G-sharp minor etude, which he subtitled Alla Ballata. Here is Shitoshi Okashiro.
Thank you.
good performance by Shitoshi Okashiro, a very fine pianist, as you heard. And that's the longest of the Scriabin 12 Etudes, Opus 12. It's a seething cauldron of a work, very difficult left hand. Here is William Drummond writing on reason. He who will not reason is a bigot. He who cannot reason is a fool. And he who dares not reason is a slave. Let's hear a couple of pages of Schubert, a rather unknown work called Allegretto in C minor. It has no title, just the Allegretto. And it takes great sensitivity to bring it to life. Let's have the German pianist Babette Hirschholzer in the Allegretto of Schubert.
Thank you.
That was the German pianist Babette Hirschhölzer in Schubert's Allegretto in C minor from the year 1827, 1 year before the early death of this great master. Who is the king of ragtime? Of course, yes indeed, it's Scott Joplin. Where was he born? Texarkana. What year? 1867. Who else was born that year? Enrique Granados in Spain, Amy Cheney Beach in Henniker, New Hampshire, and I love Joplin. His life was hard. Traveling the routes of the Tenderloin districts of the Missouri Valley ragtime brothels, Scott Joplin's ragtime is an amazing moment in the history of American music. Of great importance is the fact that it was Scott Joplin who figured out how to put ragtime syncopation into musical notation. Quite a feat. There were many, many pianists playing the ragtime rhythms, but they could not play it from printed music. Indeed, classic notated rag could not exist or the music ever be disseminated if Joplin had not made it all happen. In 1905, he deviated from the pure ragtime pieces, of which he wrote maybe 55 or 60, and he composed a delightful waltz, and he took the time to on the waltz say, a concert waltz. It's called Bethina. No one knows who Bethina is, but each of the five themes are so fetching. My old friend, the late Joseph Smith, will play Bethina by Joplin for us. Thank you. There was a fine rendering of Athena, a concert waltz, 1905, by Joplin and played by Joseph Smith. Oh, I so hope you had a good hour with me. It was my pleasure programming The Piano Matters. Join me next week, same time, same station. Pascal says, "Those who are accustomed to judge by feeling do not understand the process of reasoning because they want to comprehend at a glance and are not used to seeking for first principles. Those, on the other hand, who are accustomed to reason from first principles do not understand matters of feeling at all because they look for first principles and are unable to comprehend at a glance." This is David Duval. Thank you for listening. The Piano Matters is a production of the Classical Network. It is recorded at the Kaufman Music Center, home of Merkin Concert Hall, 129 West 67th Street in New York City. The producer, Rachel Katz. The Piano Matters is made possible with the support of the listener members of the Classical Network.